The tens of thousands of cranes we see migrating through Nebraska each spring virtually all belong to populations that breed in the northwest corner of Minnesota and further north and west. Our cranes winter in the southeast down to Florida, often stopping en route in Indiana. Some seem to be spending milder winters in southern Wisconsin now. Cranes dance on and off year-round. Dancing sometimes spreads through a whole flock as if they were in a flash mob or a Dr. Pepper commercial. Pairs form during the winter when huge numbers of cranes are mingling together. By spring, surging hormones set pairs' toes a-tapping and wings a-flapping more and more. The more a pair dances, the more they perfect their synchrony, which also helps them synchronize their bodies. So the female will be ready to ovulate her two eggs right when the male is producing maximum amounts of sperm. The exuberance of crane dances surges as they get closer and closer to their nesting area and starts culminating in sex, especially as they build their nest. The parents divide incubation duties equally during daylight hours, but the female incubates by night as her larger mate guards her. It takes a full month for the eggs to hatch, normally a day apart. Within 8 hours or so of hatching, a colt is capable of walking and swimming. If nothing disturbs the family, the father will keep incubating the remaining egg as the mother cares for the colt near the nest. But predators or human disturbance may make the three of them flee before the second egg hatches. Although the family remains fairly close together, each parent usually stays with one chick when they're feeding. Chicks begin eating when about a day old. The parents feed them bill to bill for 10 days or so, but after that the parents set the food on the ground, sometimes breaking larger prey into manageable pieces. The young can get their own food by the time they're half grown, but even after that they occasionally beg, and parents sometimes offer food without even being asked. Chicks take their first flights when about 7 weeks old and are soon strong flyers, but the family remains together through fall migration and the entire winter. It's only around the parents' anniversary that they break away for some alone time. The following fall, when they again associate with other cranes, parents may or may not recognize their young from previous years. Cranes figure in the art and mythology of many cultures. Their graceful lines and elegant plumage figure especially prominently in Japanese art. One of the especially appealing aspects of cranes, which looms large in how they're depicted culturally, is their lifelong fidelity to their mate. We humans have a tendency to embellish some avian qualities, to force them into narrow anthropocentric and anthropomorphic storylines. But after a pair of cranes has successfully raised a chick, their fidelity is not exaggerated. And befitting their use as a symbol of longevity, cranes really are long-lived. One Siberian crane, related to our whooping crane, lived in the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. for almost 62 years. In the wild, banded sandhill cranes have lived for over 37 years. Most sandhill crane populations are doing well right now, in part thanks to the historical way the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service enforced the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, penalizing companies that inadvertently kill birds during their operations. The current administration decided to no longer investigate or fine companies that kill cranes colliding with unmarked power lines or being poisoned at oil waste pits, taking away the only financial incentive companies have to avoid killing them. The cranes, of course, don't understand this. They'll keep on keeping on as long as they can, filling the hearts of those of us who know them with a joy that could never be measured in money. It's a scurvy villain indeed who could sell off the well-being of these magnificent birds for a few dollars more. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.